Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm a PFW Fantasy Football contributor. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I am joined, as always, by my two co-hosts, PFW Fantasy Football contributor and Northwest Herald sports editor Kyle Neighbors. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, how's it going today, man?
It's going pretty well, man.
All right, and my other co-host, PFW All Everything, new managing editor of PFW, promotion, Arthur Arkish. You can find him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how's it going?
It's going well, gentlemen. Ready to try and help some people either clinch playoff spots, get set for the playoffs, or do whatever they got to do. But we're all here to try and help.
All right, let's do it. Let's get to our game-by-game breakdown. We'll go through each game, give you some of the plays we're after, some of the plays we're not on, and hopefully give you some information to help you win your matchup this week. Guys, let's start with an ugly one here. Detroit and Baltimore, 43 is the over-under. Baltimore favored by 3 at home. Arthur, man, I really liked Alex Collins after Monday night, and the Detroit defense has been hemorrhaging yards on the ground, but he's got the questionable tag, and so I'm struggling to figure out this Baltimore running game if Collins is questionable. Are you on the Baltimore rushing attack for this game against this Detroit defense?
Yeah, I mean, you know, interestingly, I think ideally it would be Collins because he's shown that he can handle a bunch of work and he's been efficient more often than not, has found the end zone the past couple weeks. But I kind of feel, Kyle, like this might be the case because the Lions run defense is struggling as much as it is. Javorius Allen was fairly productive even prior to, before injuries struck. I mean, he had been going pretty well, and now you got Danny Woodhead back. So do you feel comfortable plugging either of those guys in if Collins can't go?
I would say Danny Woodhead if I had to take a choice there. I'm just not a big fan of Buck Allen. I just think you're going to see Danny Woodhead get more and more involved in this offense. Let's see. He's got 10 targets over the last 2 weeks coming back. I think that number is going to continue to tick up. If I had to choose one, I'd probably choose him. But I don't, John, I know you kind of like Buck Allen.
Yeah, but I want it to be Collins because I was impressed with him on Monday night against the Texans. Now he's got another home game in an even better matchup, I think. So it's something to monitor throughout the rest of the week. We'll see how injuries play out. Friday's practice will be important if Collins is out there. If he is, I have no problem firing him up. Let's move on to the next game. San Francisco at Chicago. 41 is the over-under with the Bears favored by 3. Jimmy Garoppolo will get the start in Chicago. So, Kyle, if you're in a 2QB league or if you were relying on Alex Smith or Dak Prescott, is Jimmy Garoppolo a guy that you're looking at this week?
In a 2QB league? Yeah, probably. I mean, I guess. I'm not really sure what to expect out of him. I probably, if I had to take a chance, I might be on the other side of the ball. I feel like the Bears are trying to figure out what they have with Mitchell Trubisky or trying to get a little more work in for him. I feel like he might have a higher ceiling against a much, much worse defense. Arthur, you kind of going the same way, or would you rather go Garoppolo?
Ideally I'd rather go neither. Even in a two quarterback league, I picked up Garoppolo right after the trade in my super flex league, but I think I'm gonna roll with Blaine Gabbert as my second quarterback. I also have DeShone Kizer, who I honestly think I would consider maybe over Garoppolo too. It's just there's too much unknown here. I do like Marquise Goodwin a lot. I mean, he is turning into a pretty solid option. It is, you know, a WR3 if not a flex. Or I guess I should say a flex, if not a WR3. And Carlos Hyde is a pretty solid matchup here, although the Bears could get Danny Trevathan back. On the Chicago side of things, remember Jordan Howard had 30-plus carries, 150-plus rushing yards, and 3 scores versus the 49ers last year. So I feel really good about him bouncing back after that disaster in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. We talked about him on the DFS podcast. Jordan Howard's a plug-and-play there, and I think he is in contention for RB1 this week.
Guys, I do think Garoppolo is going to have a chance to help before it's all said and done, but I know we'll get to the Cleveland game too. It's not unlike Josh Gordon. They're unique talents, but I just don't know. This is a high leverage spot unless you got a playoff spot secure, and then maybe you're okay at, you know, rolling the dice.
All right, well, let's move on to the next game. Minnesota and Atlanta at Atlanta, 47 over under. Atlanta favored by 3 at home. Arthur, man, Kyle and I talked about this game with the DFS podcast. We think this game really has the potential to shoot out, but we really like the guys on the Minnesota side. Case Keenum keeps making the case to not only start, but I was listening to the radio broadcast that that your dad and PFW executive editor Hub Arkish was doing the sideline reporting on, and Ross Tucker, the color guy for that game on the radio, mentioned Case Keenum as an MVP candidate. I'm not willing to go that far, but as far as fantasy goes, Case Keenum has been money lately.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's been on fire. He's got 7 touchdowns to 2 interceptions over his past 3 weeks. It's actually 8 if you include rushing touchdowns, I believe. He's throwing for a bunch of yards. He's stretching the field. I think MVP candidate is a bit of a stretch as well, but Pro Bowl is certainly not out of the realm of possibility. He's my QB11 this week. I don't trust the Falcons' defense. They have not been able to rush the passer. And I think this could be Stephon Diggs' week. You'll have to check on Desmond Trufant's status, but it sounds like he's going to be hard-pressed to go. I don't know if you guys have an update on that. I know he left last week with a concussion, and he's their guy on the outside that would likely be covering Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs owners are going to be very, very happy this week, I think, because it does sound like Trufant is trending in the wrong direction. I just think that this is a blow-up spot for him if Trufant is out.
Yeah, we're on the same page. I almost think Jerick McKinnon possibly. I know he's really came down to earth over the past month or so, but the Falcons linebackers still struggle in coverage. He's still their receiving back. All the Vikings backfield has missed from a fantasy perspective to kind of be in that Atlanta realm is both of these guys going off in the same week. If you guys are predicting shootout, does that mean both of these backs get to eat?
He's predicting shootout. I'm predicting Minnesota is going to win by 10 points.
Okay.
I think both of them are certainly in play certainly RB2 conversation.
What about that Atlanta backfield? It's obviously a tough spot for Devontae Freeman to return. He's been cleared. We're not sure if he's going yet, but it's trending that way. But interestingly, Atlanta doesn't skip a beat on offense without him, but has arguably its best 2-game stretch of the year. John, how do you anticipate Sarkisian tries to kind of divvy up the work, and does it matter against such a stout Vikings defense?
Yeah, I'm in a wait and see mode when it comes to the Atlanta backs. I mean, if you have Tevin Coleman, if you have Devonta Freeman, yeah, I think you're probably playing them. But I'm not overly excited about it. I think the way Atlanta's offense has changed in the past few weeks, they're throwing the ball more on first down and they're throwing it more to Julio Jones. Obviously, you're starting Julio and you're very happy with the week that he provided last week. but I think even guys like Sanu and Gabriel are in play, and Austin Hooper as well.
I actually am not really in agreement with it. I don't think you have to play Devonta Freeman unless you're really starved at running back. He's not been getting the work since the beginning of October. I mean, you're looking 13, 15, 15, 16 touches in a game. Like, there's just not really the upside that he had last year or even earlier this season.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. You know, Dan Quinn said they really missed him, which, again, is so interesting, because it's so interesting for whatever reason. It's almost seemed like Sarkisian was sort of freed to let his offense roll more. I don't know, just kind of stretch its legs a little bit more. And then lastly, guys, we just have to hit on Julio and that Xavier Rhodes matchup. Rhodes has done pretty well in the previous 2 meetings. Julio, of course, coming off just the ridiculous game last week. You're starting him, of course, but what's his ceiling this week against, perhaps an all-pro corner in Rhodes?
You know, Marvin Jones roasted
you're right.
Xavier Rhodes on Thanksgiving. And Julio Jones is a better receiver than Marvin Jones. So I have no trouble projecting a high ceiling for Julio this week.
All right, lock and load.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the next one. New England and Buffalo. 48 is the over-under, with New England favored by 9 on the road. Guys, I wrote up Rob Gronkowski in my DFS column this week. In 11 games against the Bills, he has 11 touchdowns. I think Gronk is tight end 1 most weeks in projections. I think the difference between him and the next tight end is greater than any difference at any position this week.
No argument here.
Yeah, all this just has a making of like a New England 42-10 beatdown where Gronk and Brandon Cooks just absolutely go nuts.
Arthur, do you have any? We discussed this a little on the DFS pod, but do you have any idea here on the New England running backs? It seems like we have more clarity at this point than we've had in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I just like the two hot hands. I mean, Deion Lewis is a legit RB1 right now. He seems to be getting better every week. I think I have him as my RB12 overall this week. And I think you feel great about him. I've got Burkhead down about 10 spots, but still a very playable RB2. And, you know, the reason you'd side more toward Lewis than anything this week is because it does look like it could get ugly and they'll just keep feeding him. But, I'm in agreement with you. You can feel great about both of those guys. It's taken long enough to get here, but it's kind of satisfying that we are here if you own either one of them, right?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Kyle.
Well, I was going to say, do we have any interest? Okay, so let's see here. Sorry, I lost my spot. Chris Hogan, doubtful for the week. Danny Amendola, questionable. It's kind of sounding like he's 50-50 to play. If he doesn't play, is Philip Dorsett someone that you can maybe plug into a flex?
I'm not trying to go there. No, not if I have anything meaningful on the line this week, but it seems like it would be a better DFS question because I'm sure he'd be a contrarian play. But
he played 43 snaps last week.
Okay, and he attracted one target,
yeah,
and turned it into a 39-yard gain, but he hasn't attracted more than three targets in a game, and he hasn't been over three catches for 68 yards as a Patriot. So that's a dice roll for me.
Yeah, that's a dart throw. That was not a name I was considering this week, but it's interesting.
I mean, it's not something that I would feel good about. I'm just saying if you're desperate on the waiver wire, And Danny Amendola is out, and so is Chris Hogan. I think that might be someone that you can take a shot on. You're not feeling good, but if you're at that point, you're probably not feeling good about anyone on the waiver wire.
Well, the saving grace with Dorsett, obviously, he's a sub 4.3 dude. So all you need is one opportunity for him, and he can salvage your day, of course. And maybe early on he does get it. It would be fun to see. I know I had some exciting thoughts of what could be with Brandon Cooks and Philip Dorsett in the same offense. We just haven't really seen it consistently yet.
All right, well, let's move on to the next one. That is Denver and Miami. 39 is the over-under. Denver favored by 1.5 on the road. Trevor Siemian is going to be back at QB, so I guess you up your projections for Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, but oh boy, I'm not loving a lot of plays here. Maybe Kenyon Drake, Kyle?
Yeah, I feel like that's probably about as far you're going. Maybe Demaryius Thomas here on the Denver side. By the way, Arthur, how bad was Paxton Lynch? Put it in perspective for us.
I honestly only got to see a little glimpses of that game, so I can't fully put it in perspective for you, but I know he ended up with what, like 70 passing yards, like 8 for 14, 70 yards, something like that, in a little more than a half of work. So I felt bad for him. He's crying there on the bench after he injures his ankle. Actually, I'm sorry, it was 9 of 14 for 41 yards. Yeah, under 3 yards per attempt. That's tough to do.
Whoa.
At one point, Demaryius Thomas had 3 receptions for 8 yards.
Yikes. Yeah, guys, I don't know. Are we about to see the Manning reprise in Denver next year? Is that a possibility?
I hope so.
That would be fun. I'm on board for that.
That would be cool. They need to do something. Or Chad Kelly, maybe. Maybe Chad Kelly will end up being the best quarterback they currently have on the roster. Who knows?
All right. Well, with that, let's move on to Houston, Tennessee. 42.5 is the over-under, with Tennessee favored by 7 at home. Kyle, we talked a little bit about this one in the DFS podcast. You like Marcus Mariota this week, don't you?
I think Marcus Mariota is in a good spot, theoretically. Unfortunately, Marcus Mariota has been really, really bad the last few weeks. I think it's, 2 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. But, I mean, this is a get-right spot. Like, at some point, it's going to have to – he's going to come out of this funk, right, Arthur?
I don't know. I mean, what was Indianapolis last week?
I know.
It's not, To me, he looks without his explosiveness as a runner. He just kind of seems like a guy. So I don't know. I mean, if it's going to happen, the numbers, what the Texans pass defense is allowing ever since Whitney Mercilus and J.J. Watt went down is astounding. So at least he gets home and Houston comes in on short rest. So, yeah, I can buy it. I'm more interested, though, in the rest of that backfield and whether we finally last week in the fourth quarter saw enough of Derrick Henry to change, have a changing of the guard there. Am I wishful thinking?
Yes.
You would think, but Mike Mularkey is still going back to DeMarco Murray and a timeshare this week.
Oh, Kyle had mentioned Devontae Freeman earlier about not feeling real great about him. Johnny had said, if you have him, you're probably starting him. I'm in the exact same boat with DeMarco Murray. There is just no one more touchdown dependent right now. I know he does give you a little bit as a receiver, but he has been a tough, tough weekly start of this past month, or frankly, most of this whole season.
He just looks so slow.
Yes, he does, and lacks creativity. I could not agree more with that.
All right, well, with that, let's move on to Indianapolis and Jacksonville. 41 is the over-under. Jacksonville favored by 9.5 at home. Sorry about that. Kyle, D.D. Westbrook is a guy that we've talked about, and you expect big things from him this week, don't you?
I love D.D. Westbrook in this spot. I know, Arthur, you've been talking up D.D. Westbrook the last few weeks. You've seen the targets have been there. I love Westbrook. I love Blake Bortles in this spot. I can't believe I'm saying that. It feels so dirty, and I'm going to regret it on Sunday afternoon. But, I mean, this is an absolute smash spot for the Jacksonville offense, right, Arthur?
Yeah, I think so, too. 16 targets for Didi over the past 2 weeks. Marquise Lee only has 11. You haven't seen the blow up from Westbrook yet, but you just have to remember that this regime, he's their guy, unlike Marquise Lee, unlike Allen Hurns, who remains out. So, yeah, I really like Westbrook a lot. The Colts just lost that kind of surprise corner, Rashawn Melvin, last week. So, yeah, roll out Westbrook and feel good that his breakout should be coming. Guys, we got to ask. I mean, what about Leonard Fournette? Are we going to feel comfortable with Leonard Fournette again this season?
I feel comfortable with it. I think this is about as safe a matchup as we can ask for. So I feel comfortable with Fournette.
I feel like this is one of those spots where the entire Jacksonville offense is going to come out angry after coming out completely flat at Arizona last weekend.
I just feel like there is a lot we don't know behind the scenes going on with Leonard Fournette's health, because his usage otherwise to me is sort of inexplicable. But I guess he's only 2 weeks removed from doing work on the Browns, the first back to do it all year. So it is the Colts after all. I wish I'd feel like he was going to be that weekly bell cow that he was for most of the first half of his rookie season. We just haven't seen it consistently.
Well, if that's the case, you got to really feel good about D.D. Westbrook then.
Well, I mean, they play hand in hand. I mean, the more Fournette's on the field, the more safeties are up in the box. And then, yes, if Fournette's going to be busy, it's only going to help Westbrook for sure. Is there anyone on the Indianapolis side, guys, at this point? T.Y. Hilton, his numbers in wins versus losses this year are absolutely startling, the contrast.
I'm not touching anything there.
Yeah, no, thank you.
All righty.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Tampa Bay at Green Bay. 44.5 is the over-under. Green Bay favored by 2 at home, but it looks like Jameis Winston is going to get the start for Tampa Bay. So, Arthur, do we have any interest in Winston against this Green Bay secondary?
No, I just don't trust him. I mean, I wrote that I only trust Jameis marginally more than the Packers secondary. And I think it's kind of a wait and see spot for me, which is unfortunate because obviously it is such a great matchup. But I don't know, guys. His offensive line is banged up. We don't know what that shoulder is going to look like. Outside of Mike Evans, who I am fully convinced is going to explode, he has to, because he hasn't. His droughts are pretty staggering, too. I wrote about that this week. No 100-yard games, longest drought of his career, and 4 games without a touchdown ties the longest stretch of his career. So I feel like he gets right, but it might be just him, and I don't know if that means a great day for Jameis, too. What do you think, Kyle?
Well, given the fact that the Bucs are essentially out of playoff contention, I can't see them throwing Jameis Winston back out there unless he's healthy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I feel like you've been able to see he's struggled against good secondaries But he has blown up in a few spots against really bad secondaries. Buffalo, the Giants, the Packers definitely rank up there as a bad secondary. I think you can get a usable day out of him. I think they are going to try and limit his exposure. So you're not probably going to get a super high ceiling, but if you're looking for someone to stream, I don't think it's a terrible idea.
What do we know, John? What do we know about Doug Martin versus Jaquizz Rodgers versus Peyton Barber? Anything yet?
I want no action of any of that.
Okay. All right.
On the Green Bay side, it looks like Aaron Jones practiced this week. So I like Jamal Williams a lot, but if Jones is healthy and active, even if Ty Montgomery, I know the Packers have talked him up a little bit this week, if he's out there, then I think I got to downgrade Jamal Williams.
It doesn't sound like Ty Montgomery is going to be down there and out there. Excuse me. I know he didn't practice on Thursday. And, you know, Jamal Williams, his numbers have been great, but it's hard to forgive him going out of bounds late in that game last week. But he's been real good. I would like to think he's passed up Jones at this point, but who knows?
And Devontae Adams, we know with Brent Hundley at quarterback, he's been targeting Adams a lot. So I think Adams is in a smash spot this week against the Tampa Bay secondary that's given up 360 passing yards in each of the past two games.
Yeah, I think Devontae Adams versus Mike Evans is going to be a fun little matchup this weekend.
I'm with it.
All right, let's move on to the next game. Kansas City and the Jets, 43.5 is the over-under. Kansas City favored by 3 on the road. And Arthur, Kansas City's offense just looks broken to me.
Yeah, it's pretty troubling. No one's fallen off the cliff more stunningly than Kareem Hunt. And they just, you know, other than Travis Kelce, there's really nothing you can count on a week-to-week basis, not even Tyreek Hill. Yeah, it's been a nice year, but it's just too up and down. And, I don't know if fixes are in store at this point. The offensive line isn't playing well. The Jets have a good, solid defensive front, at least. So, I don't really feel great. This was the first week, actually, where I finally just bounced Kareem Hunt from RB1 status. I think I've got him down at, like, RB15, and that might be too liberal. It's not a good spot. I do kind of like the spot for the Jets, though, actually. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, well, first off, and I just wanted a quick note about the insanity that is Andy Reid. So you're talking, like, the only thing that has really been working has been Travis Kelce. And then I was reading, I want to say it was over on Roto-World, but that Travis Kelce saw the smallest target share he had seen since, like, week 2, or maybe it was week 3 against the Chargers. The smallest target share. It's like, sometimes I just don't know what Andy Reid is doing.
He forgets that Travis Kelce is on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, he does that with Kareem Hunt too. That is, there's weeks Kareem Hunt has 4 carries in the first half, and I'm like, oh god, Andy Reid is infuriating. But yes, Arthur, you are right. I kind of like this spot for the Jets. Josh McCown, once again, a pretty good streamer. Robbie Anderson, I mean, do we have a breakout player here, guys?
Hell yeah, he's been the best thing to happen to the Jets this year for sure. Turned into a star, and he's going to get some of he'll get some of Marcus Peters, obviously, but he's going to get some of Darrell Revis too. I like both of those. I think Jermaine Kearse, after his big game last week, is probably startable again too. What do you think, John?
Yeah, absolutely. Robbie Anderson is I mean, how do you not start him, you know, going forward?
He's been, credit goes to Robbie Anderson and to John Morton for getting that thing worked out, because he was pigeonholed after 1 year as just a one-trick pony, and he's WR9 overall, and he's making plays all over the field.
All right, well, with that, let's move on to the next one. Carolina, New Orleans, 48 is the over-under. New Orleans favored by 4.5 at home. Kyle, Alvin Kamara has been absolutely fantastic, certainly the past few weeks. Does he get slowed down at all by this Carolina defense this week?
I don't think it's an issue of him slowing down. It's the issue that, and we talked about this on the DFS podcast, Alvin Kamara's highest usage is going to be in games where New Orleans is behind. I don't think that's going to be the case this week. I don't believe in this Carolina team. I particularly don't believe on this Carolina team going on the road. So I think this is more of a Mark Ingram week. I mean, obviously Kamara, if you have them, you're playing them. If you have Mark Ingram, you're playing them. But I actually think this sets up better as a Mark Ingram game than an Alvin Kamara game. Arthur, do you agree?
I do. Yeah, I have Mark Ingram as my RB4 this week, and I've got Kamara one spot lower. I mean, they're both just absolute dynamite plays, but I think you nailed it in terms of game flow and how it probably shapes up Sunday. What about Carolina, guys? You know, I was ready to ride Cam Newton to fantasy glory heading into his bye, and then, of course, it's Cam Newton, so he has that absolute dud in New York, and I don't know. Is there ever going to be any consistency captured in this guy?
History says he does well in the Superdome. And yes, once again, as we're taping this on Thursday, the New Orleans secondary still banged up. Lattimore did not practice. I don't think Crowley did either. So that opens up opportunities for the Carolina offense.
It does say that Cam Newton is dealing with a sore right thumb. In practice, said it was a little tender during Thursday's practice.
Maybe a tender thumb is just what Cam needs to turn into a competent NFL passer. Probably not, but you know, I don't know. Grasping at straws here. Anyway, what about Greg Olsen, guys? Is that going to be salvageable before the year's out? It sounds like I don't believe, practiced Thursday as we're taping here.
He doesn't sound healthy. It just doesn't sound like he's anywhere near full health. Just play Devin Funchess and probably sit Greg Olsen.
Alrighty. Yeah, I mean, keep him on your bench and maybe something comes of it. Let's move on to the next.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted did you guys watch the Saints Rams game last week?
And I did, actually.
Okay, did you see the Colby Fleener hit?
Actually, I missed that. Oh, I saw the game, but I missed that.
He got smashed, and they didn't check him for a concussion immediately. And then, like, 10 minutes later on the broadcast, they're like, oh, yeah, he just went to the locker room and has a concussion. The NFL is just the worst.
Well, with that, let's move on to an also worst team here. Cleveland going on the road to play the Chargers. The Chargers are heavy favorites this week. 43 is the over-under. Chargers favored by 14 at home. Guys, I mean, Arthur, Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen are really coming on strong, and the Chargers may end up being the favorite in the AFC West. Keenan Allen, this seems like a touchdown regression has come his way, and I don't think he's going to see much of Jason McCourty, or at least as much as we think. Against Jason McCourty, because Allen plays more out of the slot. So Allen seems like he's in contention for WR1 again this week.
I mean, the numbers are absurd over the past couple. 27 targets, 23 catches, 320-something yards, and 3 touchdowns. So that's a pretty good season for some people. I've got him at WR6. I guess I worry just a tiny bit about the game flow here, because this one could get out of hand really early. But at WR6, obviously, I still think he's going to produce. And I've got Phillip Rivers as QB3 this week, just coming off the monster Thanksgiving performance. He's been really good the past few weeks. And I think you fire up all your Chargers. I wonder if maybe Tyrell Williams could even go on a little bit of a roll here with Mike Williams now out of the equation, although I know how crowded the market is there, Kyle.
Yeah, I think that all those guys are in consideration against this Cleveland secondary. I like Tyrell Williams. I like Travis Benjamin. They both have big play potential. And this is a get-right spot for Hunter Henry, which I guess it started last week, but I think it's going to continue this week. And I'm going to pat myself on the back quickly, because I've been saying this since the beginning of October, but play the Chargers defense, because that pass rush is so much fun. The corners are good, and it's been a lot of fun over the last month or so to really see this team come together.
Yeah, love
for Josh Gordon,
Jason Barrett too, right? Yeah, sorry, John, I hear you. Let's talk Josh Gordon. I apologize. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. Any love for Josh Gordon this week? Hugh Jackson's been talking him up, but Hugh Jackson also likes to lie about how he wants to use players.
Kyle, I'll defer to you first.
No. I mean, that's really just, I'm just wait and see approach. Maybe, you know, if he's on waivers, pick him up, stash him, see what happens this week, but don't plug him in.
Yeah. I'm in the exact same boat. It's pretty enticing, though, to look ahead to week 14, and you'll notice the Green Bay Packers on the schedule for Josh Gordon. So wait and see this week. If you have Corey Coleman, I think you fire him up. He's getting too many opportunities not to. And then if Gordon looks even like a, you know, remotely similar to the guy we've seen in the past, I think you roll him out for the first week of fantasy playoffs against the Packers.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next game. The Rams at Arizona. 45 is the over-under. Rams favored by 7 on the road. Guys, there are a lot of Rams players that I want to play in this game, which is surprising because of what we've thought of the Arizona defense over the past couple of years. But the way that this Rams offense is moving and operating, Kyle, I think I'm not afraid to fire up anyone that isn't Sammy Watkins this week, because Sammy Watkins will face off against Patrick Peterson, and I don't start guys against Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, it sounds like Robert Woods is doubtful and definitely trending in the wrong direction. Big fan of Josh Reynolds again this week. Arthur, you ready to go back to that well?
Yeah, I think so. It shapes up really well for both Cooper Kupp and Josh Reynolds. Sean McVay was very complimentary of Reynolds in his just the athleticism he showed, the physicality he showed, and really his first real opportunity when he came away with a touchdown and a really nice day. So, yep, I feel great about both of those guys. I got Jared Goff as a QB1, although I will say that Cardinals defense last week, it was against the Jaguars, but it was like Chandler Jones and Tyrann Mathieu were possessed.
Do you guys have any interest if Adrian Peterson is out in DJ Foster?
Is Adrian Peterson, I wasn't aware of, is he not practicing? Is he banged up? What's going on there?
He has a neck issue, didn't practice Wednesday. I haven't seen a Thursday report yet, and it appears Kerwin Williams has cracked ribs. So if Adrian Peterson is limited or out, you would have to think that it's going to be DJ Foster.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. It's probably a better fit for DFS or someone who doesn't have a whole lot riding on Sunday. But I like him. Yeah, I know the Patriots didn't want to lose him. Cardinals claimed him off waivers, former wide receiver, really good in the passing game. So and a good chance Cardinals could be playing catch up. So, yeah, I think that's an interesting play.
All right, well, let's move on to the next game. This one could get ugly. Giants and Oakland. 42 is the over-under. Oakland favored by 9.5 at home. Arthur, Marshawn Lynch seems like he's in a great spot in this one, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he Marshawn, I think, and Jared Cook are the only two guys you're going to really look give a long look at this week, with Crabtree suspended, Amari Cooper inching closer to sitting out with both the concussion and the ankle. So, and Lynch actually, you know, very quietly, he's managed to kind of turn it on over the past month or so. In the Giants defense, I know it's kind of, you know, it's playing with the chip on its shoulder now, but it's still, I think, 31st against running backs. I think this is an excellent spot. Kyle?
Yeah, I think Marshawn Lynch is in a really, really good spot this week. I think that the Raiders are going to get ahead early. Arthur, on the DFS podcast, John had a hot take that Geno Smith is not bad at football. Well,
Hold on. Let's get it right. I said Geno Smith is not going to mess the bed. I didn't say Geno Smith is not good at football, but given the matchup, it's possible that Geno Smith could not mess the bed.
Yeah, if there was a, it's such an interesting thing, guys, because on one hand, Geno, there's always going to be a footnote. The Giants turned to Geno when they benched Eli to end the Iron Man streak. So it's a tough spot in that regard. But then, of course, it is the Raiders, who I think finally got an interception last week. But we all know about the Raiders defense. So, I can see kind of where both of you are coming from. I'm glad I'm not in a position where I need to lean on him in fantasy. But I think it's too soon to totally write off Geno. I just think you need to see a certain amount from these young QBs with at least a decent environment. And we really haven't seen that from Geno yet. And we're not going to see, let me add, we're not going to see that Sunday with this Giants offensive line and no receivers. So I guess maybe that leans a little more strongly to he's not going to play well, but we'll see.
I was going to let the decent environment slide there, but you caught yourself.
All right, let's get away from this game and move on to Philadelphia and Seattle. This is a game with some fantasy goodness. 5.5 Philly is favored by 5.5 on the road. The over-under is 47.5. Kyle, I have a feeling you think this game is going to go over that total.
Yeah, I think this is a shootout game. I think Philly is the better team here, particularly given Seattle's injuries. But for fantasy purposes, at least, I think Philly gets an early lead, and then Seattle has to lean on Russell Wilson already to begin with. I think it's going to become even more that type of a game. I think this is a blow-up spot for Doug Baldwin. I think Jimmy Graham continues to play well. My big question for Arthur is, what does Jay Ajayi have to do to get more work?
I don't know that there is anything until next year. We knew at the time of the deal that this was both maybe a move to try and put them over the top this season, but also getting someone at low cost control for next year. So they got these other guys going well. I mean, I don't know what to say. He's the low man on the totem pole right now, it seems. And despite the fact that he's managed to do something really impressive each week, but I can't pretend to know exactly what Doug Peterson's thinking. John, do you think this thing can break a little differently than what we've seen to date?
I hope so. I just don't have any evidence that says it's actually going to happen.
Right. Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, look at this, though. His first three games in Philly, he's got a 46-yard touchdown. He's got a 71-yard run that he got caught from behind on, and then he has a 30-yarder against the Bears last week. So it's a pretty healthy 9.7-yard rush average as a Philadelphia Eagle.
All right, well, let's move on to the Monday night game, Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. 43.5 is the over-under. Pittsburgh favored by 5.5 on the road. Kyle, where did this Joe Mixon game come from can he do it again?
No, I have no faith in Joe Mixon or the Cincinnati offense in general. I guess the one saving grace is that we just watched the Pittsburgh defense get absolutely shredded by Brett Hundley. Arthur, what was that?
I think that was kind of a coming of age for Brett Hundley, actually, guys. I think it's another reminder that we are too quick to judge. It's an instant coffee society, if you will. And Brett Hundley had 3 or 4 starts under his belt, and he needed a little bit more time. Am I predicting that he's going to do it again this week? No, but I just think that was about being patient and waiting and him having a big spot. So, very quietly, Andy Dalton has been really good too since Bill Lazor took over for Ken Zampezi. So who knows? I don't know if this one's just shootout potential or not, but I don't know. I think Dalton is not the worst play this week.
All right, and obviously you're starting Bell and Brown, and I think Roethlisberger is even a decent spot here too.
Ben Roethlisberger's QB1 overall over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's been good.
He's coming on.
All right, so we're going to end the podcast as we do each week with our bold calls. Kyle, do you have a bold call for this week in fantasy football?
Yes, I will say Blake Bortles is a top 8 quarterback this week.
Okay. All right. That is a bold call on Blake Bortles. You don't often have a Blake Bortles bold call.
Won't regret that at all. These.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong, right?
Arthur, do you have a bold call for this week?
Yeah, mine's not that insane, but I'm going back to the Jerick McKinnon well, guys. It's been about a month since we've seen him do anything really good. I think it was actually in London against Cleveland, his last really productive game, his last time finding the end zone. I think it's a big spot for him. I think he's a top 10 running back this week, and I'll take it one step further. I think both he and Latavius Murray are going to be top 15 this week.
Wow, all right. I like it. I've got kind of a hater version of a bold call this week. I believe Alvin Kamara is not a top 12 running back this week. That is my bold call. I think Carolina finds a way to slow him down a little bit.
Oh, you're hating on my boy.
I like Kamara. I'm riding the hater train this week.
Hey, John, the follow up though, does that put Mark Ingram back in the elite category, or do you think the Saints run game kind of gets slowed finally?
I think Ingram is in the top 12. Kamara is not.
Okay. I like it. We'll see.
Yes, we will. And with that, we will end the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast for this week. For Arthur Arkish and Kyle Neighbors, I'm John Solly. Best of luck in your matchups this week.